If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love, light, and sound currents of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is the well-nourished soul. The sign of a well-nourished soul is the capacity to nourish others. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward in your divine presentation. You are a divine incarnation of God's light, love, sound current, and grace. In highest truth, you have never left divine source. You are one, eternally one, with divine source. You could not possibly ever be separated from divine source. So, just have tea with that thought, if you will. Let it seep into every pore of your being. In highest truth, I have never left the heart of God. I am forever as originally created, pure, whole, holy, and completely innocent of any doings in time and space. Take a deep breath and allow that sense of burden, regret, remorse, guilt, any heaviness in your consciousness. Just release it and let it go. And let it dissolve back into the nothingness from which it only seemed to come. Move your inner awareness now with your breath deep into your center. Deep breath. Write it in and center it in your core. That's it. When you feel that connection, and your body feels more solid, that inner strength feels more established. Perhaps your body is starting to move back and forth. Perhaps you're feeling some heat, or some of you may have goosebumps or chills. You've made divine connection consciously. And it's just that simple. You take a deep breath with the intention to connect to the truth of your being. Reality is but God. The divine is the only reality. And truth is simply the recognition of the unchangeable truth. That is, you are an incarnation of divine truth, of divine awareness, and of eternal existence. You can never cease to be. And interestingly enough, you will never be greater than you are right now, or more divine, or more perfect, or more healed, or more whole than you are right now. So you can find those points of perfection within your consciousness right now. It's simply a revealing of what's already present. but covered up with conditioning and thought forms from the past. And so each week we dust off a little bit more of that. A little bit more. And you begin to see with greater clarity, week after week, greater clarity. And with it, greater joy, greater peace. So now we're going to ask the Divine Spirit to clear and lift anything that could be lifted from you at this time, that you don't have to pursue or go through or bear or suffer any longer. So take a deep breath and just allow the Holy Spirit to dissolve from your energy field and your mind and your heart and your physical, mental, and astral bodies anything that no longer serves you. And now we ask that wherever there's been a release, that the Divine Spirit fill that part of your consciousness with greater well-being, with as much love as you can possibly soak up, as much light as you can possibly integrate at this particular moment in time that would be for your highest good. And be aware that we exist in a universe that is teeming with life. There's no empty space in all of existence. Every inch is populated with micro and macro cosmic universes, with all manner of life forms. And everything in the divine realms consists of waves of scintillating and sparkling light, cascading melodies of divine sound, and a love and a bliss that is overwhelming. The divine God realms are perfect always and immortal. And that's where we live and move and have our being. That's our home base. Now, as spirit comes down, metaphorically speaking, densifies, let's say, and comes into the meeting of the mental energy, it begins its adventure, its sojourn, it's like we're having a human field trip in a mental and emotional labyrinth of past events presenting themselves as current happenings. So our task is to remember we've been here and done all of this before. That's why we have prophecy. That's why we have deja vu. That's why psychics can read the Akashic Record. How could they read the Akashic Record if you hadn't been there and done that? So Earth, as we've often said, is in a time lag. So that we're simply re-experiencing what we've already lived out in time-space. And in spirit, we simply have the function of observing and revealing to our personal self in the human form the truth of our immortal love and immortal safety. Every time that revelation illumines our consciousness, we feel a direct relief and a release into freedom, a release into greater peace, a release into greater well-being and joy. That's the proof that you've touched into reality. So when spirit mixes with mind, the perfect thought forms with imperfect thought forms, It gives birth to what is called the psychic and material worlds, which manifest as polarity and duality and exist beneath the soul realm or the fifth plane of consciousness, which is the first, let's say, staging arena from which we enter into these lower dimensional worlds and realms. So we are on a mission to check out and experience life in time, space, and becomingness. And it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be a grand game. And the reason certain things are invisible to us, there's only one reason why things are invisible to us. And that's because we will see and experience only what matches our state of consciousness and our vibrational state. So that's why different people experience and see different realities. Some people, for example, can see spaceships. Others can see discarnate entities. Others may see angels or masters. Others may not see any of that at all and may see a very pain-ridden world. But what you see matches where you are positioned in viewing life, which is your state of consciousness. So, we're going to look tonight at the well-nourished soul. So let me ask you, how well-nourished are you as a soul? You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a physical body. You have an astral body. You have a mental body. But you are soul. And soul is always perfect, but unexperienced when it comes to working in the realms of time, space, and becomingness. So when you call a person an old soul, it simply means a soul that's had perhaps more trips around the block, so to speak, has had more immersions in time, space, than what you could call incarnations. But a well-nourished soul has the capacity to live for others. And that's not in a self-sacrificing way, like a doormat, but simply having no personal axis to grind, with no personal needs or agendas, such a one can fully be there for others in whatever capacity is necessary at the time. So spiritually speaking, in order for any of us to be of service without burning out, we need to keep our tank topped off so we don't run out of petrol. The petrol we're speaking of is the divine light and sound and love currents, which is the energy of the formless Godhead when it sources through the human instrument. We are channels for that divine juice, so to speak, that divine electricity, that light to illumine and source into this labyrinth of time and space and emotional and mental creations, manifestations. So we need to first take care of ourselves, both physically and spiritually, before we can really be in a position to take care of others. As Sai Baba has taught us, first self, then help. So when we speak of taking care of ourselves, first and foremost, it means keeping attuned to divine spirit, keeping attuned, like you tune in a radio and you get a clear transmission. We need to know how to turn the dial of our consciousness so we're attuned. And we keep upping the frequency band as we bring more awareness and more light and more revelation into our levels. So you don't just stay at one channel. Now, those of us, like myself, for example, that work multidimensionally, concomitantly, in more than one body, and access more than one bandwidth and frequency of consciousness at the same time, we need to really be focused in the one. Otherwise, we will appear psychotic or may even develop schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder, as they call it, for not staying grounded and congruent here and now. It's very important to, spiritually speaking, keep your ducks all in line. What would that look like? Well, it looks very practical on the physical level. The first responsibility you have in life is to take care of yourself. You need to prepare yourself so you can survive on the physical planet in a functioning, grounded, practical way, financially, physically, and knowing how spiritually to keep yourself clear so that you don't keep picking up energies and wearing other people's release patterns and you're unaware of it. So I'm speaking to light workers that are here on Earth assignment, which should be all of you probably, and practical spirituality when it comes to integrating your instrument and having it function really well while you do all of this multidimensional, cosmic, far-out work and look normal in the process, or fairly normal on a good day. So, a well-nourished soul is kept in shape, number one, by a daily spiritual regimen of attunement. Whatever that is for you, you have to decide what works for you to keep you operating in optimum attunement with divine spirit. So, however you do it, keep connected. And at the same time, keep your feet on the ground and grounded so that you have your, as Sai Baba would say, your head in the forest and your hands in society. So you learn how to work multidimensionally by being very consciously here and there at the same time. And believe me, it's so easy once you get the hang of it. And I found that the easiest way to ground your energy is to love. That is the greatest grounder, is to look out and see somebody, something that you can make happier. That's a simple way to express love. Make someone happy. Do something that increases the well-being, the comfort, the ease, the security, and the happiness of another. That will ground you faster than anything else. In fact, as a starseed, I don't think anything else is going to ground us very much. We really show up when we manifest our divinity on a very conscious level. Otherwise, we're kind of space cadets, you know? And we're space cadets until we realize we're here to be conduits of grace and light into this planet, where most people are sound asleep and they're suffering terrible nightmares. They're in agony, most people. They're full of fear and guilt because they don't know who they are and they don't know how to tap in. They think they have to do some extraordinary gymnastics to get in contact with their true self. And it's as simple as taking a conscious breath. You have to teach them that. They don't know that, and they won't know that unless you teach it, preach it, write it, communicate it, speak about it on the telephone, blog it, go into social media, tweet it. I do all of those things. But get the message out, because without awakening spiritually, we're going to be experiencing this warring hell again and again and again and again, because people are not getting it. They're not awakening. And the truth is, there's more conscious, God-realized light workers on the planet today than at any time in the history of this planet. There's an enormous number of us on the planet today. And we all are at different levels of that enlightenment, because all the bases have to be covered. So we're all totally God-realized, but in time-space, it looks like we're developing spiritually, which again is a big illusion. But we're gradually upping the light frequency is what we're doing. Like a dimmer switch, we're bringing up the lights. So make your attunement vital, heartfelt, real, alive. Not some prayers out of a prayer book or some religious ritual, but get real. Get into your heart, your feelings. What's real for you? And stay connected to that reality in yourself. You don't have to call it God. If that doesn't work for you, call it whatever you will. But in truth, it's yourself. It's none other than yourself, unadorned with fabrications and misidentifications of what you bought into and thought was yourself. But I'll tell you, if it hurts, if it makes you miserable, that's not who you are. Keep digging. Keep uncovering. So, a well-nourished soul has the capacity to be present here and now without having to power grab, manipulate, coerce, play games, doing all this shtick that we do when we don't know who we are and we think we need something out there in the world, and somebody or something can give it to us that we can't give ourselves. That's the big illusion that keeps most people on the gerbil wheel. So last week we looked at how we could stop the world, stop the mind, and stop time. How? You take a deep breath, and the world stops, because the mind stops, and because time stops, and the world and time and the mind are all connected. So you focus on the breath. And you sharpen that intention, because intention is another word for God. So you keep your intention where you want to be. And you bring your consciousness present into that. And there you are. It's just that simple. No, you don't need any kind of rigmarole or fancy techniques to stay connected and present in the heart of God right now. So, one of the ways that a well-nourished soul presents themselves is availability. A well-nourished soul, in a sense, is one that's been emptied of egoic selfhood, of self-interest and self-involvement and self-importance. You know, there's a point in our development in the human potential in which we think we're the hottest thing since hot pants or whatever. But we really believe our press, and we're really full of ourselves, and we are more interested in ourselves and what other people think of this self that we imagine ourselves to be than we are anything else. And that's the stage of where, as I spoke of last week, we're developing the human personality, because a human personality needs to be fully developed and functional before you can begin working beyond that in the transpersonal self. It's part of the immersion down here in this school, this labyrinth. We're here to experience what we've not experienced before. And what we've never experienced before is being separate, or not separate, we're not actually separate, but believing and operating from the illusion that we're separate from God. Now, that's a new experience for all of us. So some people are very heady with that experience and really enjoying it, and so they're going to probably be coming back here a few more incarnations so they can have as much of that experience as they'd like to have. But bear in mind, by the time we're finished with this experience or field trip, we're going to have been everything. Everything from the beggar to the king to the queen to people with great power, to people who have no power, to the victims, to the victimizers, to the losers, to those who have had the ultimate experience of wealth and success. We will have done it all. That's why we're complete when we're ready to make this our last incarnation. We've kind of been there, done that, and we're fulfilled. We have a sense of personal fulfillment. I know there are some of you listening that are in that level, or I would not be talking about it. And so you don't feel particularly motivated to go out and do anything. And you may question that sometime. Well, am I lazy? No, you just don't have karma. Do you know that the way the masters get you to work through karma is to get you going in your ambitions, to keep you ambitious? Because when you have an ambition, it means you're working through the karma of that particular thing that you're ambitious to attain or achieve. So if you lack ambition, and you're not just lazy, like that's a possibility, but I don't think that's your case, those of you who are listening. If you lack ambition and interest to go out and slay the dragons of the world, then probably it's because you've been there, done that, and you're starting to move into the cycle of completion and fulfillment for this series of immersions in the illusions of time, space, and becomingness. You're ready to move into being. And being is bliss without the needs or the have-tos to do anything but be what you are within the moment, and do what you do within the second of the moment. That's it. No plans, no agendas. Which doesn't mean that you don't strategize when that's necessary and required, but just saying, you can sit like Ananda Moima in Nirvikalpa Samadhi and just ooze bliss and light and enlightenment and bless the whole world. Or Amaji, who sometimes hugs people for 36 hours without a body break. How do you do that? Well, she's attained mastery, obviously. How could you sit there for 36 hours and hug hundreds of people and not burn out? I'll tell you, Amma is a woman that has a full tank. She's topped off and overflowing. And that's what it looks like when somebody's operating from spirit and not from ego. Amma is completely empty of anything but the divine love of God. Now, that may not be your particular mission. We all have a specific resonance of light, love, and sound that's unique to us, and a way of expressing it that's unique to us. And when you're doing that, it's as easy as a little duck swimming on the lake.
Nobody teaches the little duck how to swim. Nobody teaches the little colt how to get up on its wobbly little legs and run very shortly after it's born to escape the predators. And so, we who are divine incarnations do not have to be told how to manifest our Swadharma. Swadharma is your natural state of divine expression. So you must find that place where it's as easy, and like me doing the radio shows, this is so easy for me. It's so easy because it's my nature to do this. It's in my perfect flow of ability and the way the Spirit wants to use me. I did one show, I think it was the second one, in which I tried to interview someone because I wasn't quite sure whether the Ashtar Command wanted me to have call-in callers or interview people and have guests or just do what I'm doing. And not knowing, I thought I would try a little bit of everything until I found what the Spirit wanted me to do. I was the worst interviewer ever. Talk about not being anointed. It was so difficult for me. It was excruciating. And probably difficult for poor Commander Alion, who was my victim. The one I was trying to interview. Now, he's a very good interviewer because I've been on his radio show many, many times, and that's his gift. That's his anointing. But for me, I definitely am not supposed to interview people. So sometimes you try different things until you find that place where it's easy, where it's a flow, where that is natural to your expression. As a little duck swimming in the water. So, try different things, but be available to shift and change as the Holy Spirit directs you until you find that particular expression that lights you up, and you have no sense whatsoever of a personal self when you're doing it. It's just pure, blissful flow. So, as we move from this fascination with ourself and involvement with our problems and involvement with our dramas, we begin to find that centered place within us where we just can be present for others. We can just hang out and be present when something or someone presents themselves and asks us for assistance. We can be present with people because we're free. Because we've transcended self-importance and fascination with our personal dramas and problems. So a well-nourished soul is ever present, available, and attentive to the genuine needs of others as such, and moves about in daily life very naturally. You don't have to proclaim yourself and blow the trumpet of your self-importance. You don't have to put a fancy name on yourself and a fancy label. You don't have to do any of that. Unless, of course, you're guided to. That's different. But the point is that you just do life like Jesus. You just walk around the countryside. Somebody needs healing, you heal them. Somebody needs deliverance from demons, you cast out the demons. Somebody needs food, you materialize it. If somebody needs comfort and a kind word, you speak it to them. If somebody needs to be chastised, like Jesus did the people in the temple that were using it as a bazaar, then you speak strongly in that way. But you do whatever is necessary to release souls from bondage. And bondage is always self-imposed. Nobody is here to suffer. God is not a punisher. God does not have a little black book or a huge book in which he's writing down all of your misgivings and your sins and is ready to punish you. All of that kind of thinking was made up by priests to control masses of people, to keep them confined in what was at one time the bastion of the dark forces. So wherever you see an exercise of power and domination, you're seeing a manifestation of the call power or the negative power. Wherever you see freedom and love and allowing people to be, you are seeing a manifestation of the divine spirit. So discern well the energies around groups and people and churches and temples and mosques and organizations and all the organized forms that people contrive to try to limit and control the consciousness of people. I'll tell you, the one thing that the human being on Earth has that many, many extraterrestrials do not have is a soul. The Greys, for example, are hive-driven beings. They don't have souls. They don't have individualized souls. They work like a hive of insects. They're insectoid hybrids, man-insectoid. So that's why they want to examine the human being, because they would give anything to have a soul. But it's not their time yet. They're not evolved to that point where that's in their destiny. And they only entered into our dimensional universe with some of the experiments that were being done in the time-space continuum in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, 50s, into the 60s. I'm not going to go into that. That's not part of my mission. But just to let you know, don't go giving your life force to extraterrestrials, okay? Ashtar will never, never, never possess a person or try to control or manipulate anyone in any way, shape, or form. He is a galactic lord and a very, very highly evolved master. He doesn't play psychic parlor games. So know that who you are as a soul is the most precious thing that you could possibly have. Protect your life, take care of your body, take care of your mind, and allow your instrument to be tuned like a Stradivarius so that the divine can play the most exquisite melodies through your life. So it's interesting that the behavior of a well-nourished soul looks very, very normal. It doesn't make a big deal out of what it does. I was reminded of my young daughter at the age of 8, when we'd have spiritual gatherings and we would be singing the devotional chants, the bhajans, at the Sai Baba Center. She would notice the needs of the people around her, and without any kind of prompting, she would hasten to bring whatever she thought they needed. For example, if somebody was coughing, she'd quickly get up, very quietly and unobtrusively, and bring them a glass of water. If someone was ill or in pain, she'd go and get Sai Baba's robe for them to hold, or give them some vibhuti, the healing ash that Sai Baba materializes. Or if they were chilled, she'd bring them a shawl or a blanket. And all of this was done very quietly without any noise or any commotion. And she was only 8 years old. So that's an example of a well-nourished soul that's still a young child. A well-nourished soul has seemingly infinite patience to be there and bear with another during their times of need. Such a one can give space, a safe space, for another to unburden themselves of whatever is troubling them. The best way to do that sometimes is by quietly listening, without interrupting, without having to counsel or teach. Sometimes just quietly listening is all that's required for a person to sort themselves out and come to peace. So a well-nourished soul can offer the assurance and security and sense of safety to anyone who is in their presence, because they're hosting the divine presence in a very tangible way. That's what we're to do. We are to host the divine presence. This is God's body. It's not your body. It's not my body. This is God's body. And the whole purpose of this body is to express love in a tangible way that the formless Godhead cannot do without the form to manifest through. So a well-nourished soul gives of the overflow and has learned or is in process of learning to allow the divine spirit to do the doing and to not give out of their personal egoic levels. Sai Baba phrases it this way: duty with love is desirable. Duty without love is deplorable. Love without sense of duty is divine. So the difference is that one gives from joy, inner joy, and loving wholeness. There's no emotional investment. The giving is from the impersonal, transpersonal self. Even though while serving, such a one appears to be fully engaged in whatever is taking place. So you have to act out the role, but you don't have to buy into it to where you lose yourself in the role. As Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, having no need to act, I act for the benefit of all sentient beings. So you and I are here to act for the benefit of all sentient beings. That's why we're on Earth assignment. We have that capacity. That's why we're called light bearers. We bear light. So learning this requires some practice over time and means learning to discern when the spiritual flow starts to complete an action and begins to back off. You have to pay attention to when the juice is flowing and when it's beginning to the flow is beginning to close down. And it's very subtle. But the flow of energy and inspiration, which initially was fulfilling a need for another, will begin to flatten and mute when the energy drops, or the energy will simply drop. Now, if you push beyond this point, then the ego mind takes over and you'll start to feel your energy drain. And you'll lose your focus and you'll start taking on karma. Beware. Only operate when you are attuned and connected and there's divine flow. So that's the thing you'll first start to notice, is a certain dullness, a lack of inspiration and vitality when the spiritual flow starts to back off. But when the divine spirit is sourcing through your physical body, mind, complex, you'll feel energized, centered, on purpose, and there's no sense of fatigue. Now, many of you who are working and operating, as I am at the moment, in the flow of the Holy Spirit, will feel, as I am at the moment, a fire going through the body and shivers or goosebumps or sensations on their head. That's when the anointing is flowing. You'll literally feel like warm honey or warm oil is flowing over your crown chakra and down your shoulders and back, as I am right at this moment. So Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. So you don't feel a sense of burden, and you have a wonderful lightness of being when you're flowing under the anointing of the Divine Spirit. Now, when you're not, is when you start to feel stressed and worried. And instead of coming in as a sense of a joy to serve, you feel obligated, or you feel irritated, or resentful, or impatient, agitated, frustrated. That's when you feel drained, because the personal ego self has taken over, and you're not in that flow of the Holy Spirit. You've stepped out of the spiritual flow and into the ego mind. So pay attention when that happens. You simply need to notice that and calmly redirect your consciousness, or just stop and clear yourself and realign spiritually. How do you clear yourself? Well, you just recognize that you stepped into ego. Often I will own it. I'll say, wait a minute, I've stepped out of the flow here. Or, forget what I just said. That was out of my ego mind. So that's a really good way, because then at the same time, you're teaching people. And I always like my life to be my message. So when I flub up, it's very easy for me to say, no, I'm storytelling here, or I've just exaggerated, or let me correct that. Those of you who know me well know I do that all the time. So I'm constantly learning to channel purer and purer energy through my body-mind complex. And that's what we all do. We're always fine-tuning our instrument. We're always course-correcting. So don't be embarrassed about that. You're just training a monkey. Forgive me for that. You're not a monkey, but, you know, you're training the monkey mind. You're training your basic self, which is the inner child. Sometimes you have more than one of those. Sometimes they don't agree. So you're training different levels of consciousness that are all cooperating with you in your human lifetime, and they're all evolving with you. So your body elemental or basic selves are being trained to be conscious selves. Eventually, they'll evolve to being souls. And everybody is participating with you, but they're not you. You're not your basic self. You're not your inner child. You're not your inner teenager. You're not your high self. You are an incarnation of God called consciousness, awareness, Christ consciousness, or simply the soul or the jivatma. And Sai Baba said that the jivi or jivatma is eternal. So you don't lose yourself, even in your godhood. You retain divine individuality. You're never going to lose yourself, so you can lay aside that fear of being annihilated in some way. It's not going to happen. So you ask for clearance if you have a place where you can do it. You take a deep breath and you say, I ask for the clearance of my energy, and I ask to be great. I ask to be attuned to the Divine Spirit. I invite the Holy Spirit to come in and fill me and to teach and speak through me. Or, you know, words to that. You know, words to that degree. But you ask for what you need. If you need to be cleared, you ask to be cleared. If you need to be filled with light, you ask to be filled with light. If you ask to have negativity dissolved back into the nothingness, you ask for that. Often I'll just visualize a violet flame flash up through my body. I'll just go right up through my body and clear, you know, just transmute. Because I work with many, many, many people. Sometimes I don't have time. I just have to, in my mind, say, God help. Sai Baba help. Lord Jesus, I need you. Help. Very often when I'm counseling with people, I'll ask the Holy Spirit or Jesus or Sai Baba to give me words. I don't know what to say to this person. Give me words. Give me your words. And you know what? They always come. They always come. You'll never be left with egg on your face. you always have what you need to serve whoever God sends to you. Even if you're absolutely clueless when they show up on your doorstep, the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need to say. And you just need to make room for that flow through you. Sometimes it's very simple to remind yourself when you're up against something really difficult. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that affirmation can remind you of who you are and what you're doing. That of yourself you do nothing. It's the Holy Spirit that accomplishes all things through me. And these affirmative reminders eventually become built-in attributes and attitudes of consciousness that you don't even have to think about anymore. They become automatic. And just as we were once puppets of our karmic subconscious programming, now we're becoming proactive instruments for spirit or soul or Atma or God, whatever you want to call that, which is. And we're becoming these instruments for the use of this divine beloved that we are. And thus, we harmonize, we serve, we heal, we reconcile, we bring peace and order wherever we happen to be. It's automatic. You don't even have to think about it. You walk into a room and all these things happen depending on what the need is with these people. Now, this is ever ready availability to spirit. And this is what is meant by living a surrendered life or a laid down life that is wholly yielded to the divine. True humility is just that. True humility is simply living as a divinely yielded instrument. That's what that is. That's what it means to be surrendered. That's what it means to be truly humble. You know, people who are humble are not thinking of being humble. They're probably the last one to realize they're humble. They simply have no other will but to do the will of the one who sent them. That's it. So it's important that you take care of yourself. You got to keep your tank full of petrol. And the petrol is the light and sound of God. It's the divine breath. It's the divine intention to connect to the living word, to the bread of life, to the Holy Communion, which is your attunement to God who dwells within you, in your mind, in your heart, in every cell of your being. Sai Baba said that the divine Atma permeates every single cell as a point of divine perfect light. Every part of us is divine, filled with God. Now notice how every negative expression is a downer. A negative expression, whether held silently in the mind, is a bad attitude, or overtly expressed, means you've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten your divine. And that your only function here is to be a channel for loving energy. And this happens when we lose our focus and allow the world of otherness to distract us. It can happen when we don't take time and we run off half-cocked without calling in the light, without attuning ourselves and integrating ourselves in the morning. Don't do that. Never rush out to do things and let the world direct your activities. Take time. Get up when you have to have enough time to spend in attunement and preparing yourself for whatever it is that you have to face and wherever it is that you're going to be going. Always take care of that first. And it takes awareness and self-discipline. You have to factor in and prioritize divine attunement so that you can stay centered in that flow and really be used at this time. Be aware that it's the initiates and light bearers that form the soul unit of any given nation or group. And therefore, the very fate of that nation or group is largely dependent upon their combined light force, outweighing the evil of the unconscious masses. Evil is simply unconsciousness of divine love. That's all it is. And I believe that 99% of our illness as light bearers is because of what's clearing through our biospheres right now. I think only maybe 1% is actually karmic. So we're not feeling all that well physically, most of us, because we're heavily laden with the suffering that humanity's going through now. I don't think we've ever had a time when there's so much flushed to the surface that we can all see on the daily news, because we've never had, television, CNN and cable TV now, where we can actually see everything happening on the planet. So those of us who carry the highest levels of awareness are also the garbage collectors who are being used to assist in clearing the collective gunk. And the clearing, remember, will always take place through the purest channels of light in any family, household, nation, group, or area. And it's automatic. Just as moths are drawn to a flame, negativity is drawn to us. Not so that we will make a big deal out of it and fortify it with our attention, but so that we can allow it to pass through our love and light and sound field, our chanting of the hue or the mantra, our devotion, our love. It passes through and dissolves and is cleared that way. But if you buy into the story, if you buy into the tragedy, if you buy into the news, then that energy sticks in your aura and you've taken on some of that karma. Learn the art of divine indifference. Impersonality. Be impersonal. Don't take anything that's happening as real or personally. Let it pass through you into the light. See it just pass right through as if you were made of cheesecloth. And let it dissolve. Give it to Christ, if that works better for you. Release it to Christ. Release it to the spiritual traveler. Release it, but don't buy into it. Don't invest into it. Don't get all wrought up about what's going on. Don't talk about it. Don't lend it energy. You're very, very powerful, those of you who are genuine light bearers. Don't lend power and a focus of attention to things that you don't want to perpetrate on the planet. That doesn't mean you can't work in those areas if that's your dharma. But stay impersonal. Keep that professional, impersonal quality present with you, like any trained professional. And then you won't pick up the karma. So there's never a moment in the day or night in which we are not emissaries of the divine kingdom. We escort the Holy Spirit into every place we enter, into every area we fly over, into every area we travel on the freeways. Everywhere we go, we escort the divine presence. And it can look so simple, like being kind, no matter what. Like not holding grievance. It looks like letting people be and appreciating them for who they are. It looks like not criticizing and not judging. It looks like active compassion and understanding. So I hope this has been helpful to you. It's a profound topic that we are all involved in learning how to operate in much more efficiently, so we don't burn out and so that we can be present at this time of the planet's greatest need. Let's go out chanting one nice long Anahi Hue. Deep breath. Anahi Hue. and raise your holy hands and send blessings and light and grace through your instrument to all of the planet and to all of the kingdoms of nature and all of the people of this and all of the worlds that inhabit this time-space continuum. God bless you. Namaste.